Well, we have a God of miracles. Even this day. And Carol was telling me that she didn't think I could do a message in under 35, 40 minutes. So today you'll see a miracle because this message is shorter and to the point. But next week, we'll be returning to Acts, and we'll be picking up with Simon the magician and talking about the difference between true miracles and true spiritual power and the false things of this world that only appear to be miracles. But this morning, you know, God teaches us through His scriptures how to live, how to think, how to believe, and there are a lot of things He expects from us, and a lot of things He says He wants us to keep. But this morning, I'd like to focus on just seven. Seven things that God really wants us to keep. And as we get ready to do that, let me pray for us. Father, as we open up Your Word, as we spend time in Your Word this morning, I ask that You would just help it penetrate our hearts and our minds and our souls, and it would change how we think, how we live, that we might live lives that bring You glory, that we might live lives that shows the world Jesus is the only hope. Father, just bless our time. Help us be faithful. Amen. Well, the first thing I think the Lord wants us to keep is a heart of flesh. When we become a child of the believing God, He says to us, He says, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put in them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and I will give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in My statutes and keep My rules and obey them. And they shall be My people and I will be their God. God changes our heart when we come to Christ. He changes it to one of flesh. It helps us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and helps us then walk in the statutes of God. And when we obey His statutes, He promises He will be our God. We must work to keep the heart that God gives us. If we don't work at it, it's not hard for us to return to a heart of stone, to what the world wants. We are instructed in Proverbs, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Okay, somebody help me. Vigilance. From it flows the spring of life. And, you know, Solomon gives us this truth, this wisdom. A little later in chapter 23, he goes on. He says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. See, we live out what's in our hearts. What we believe. What we treasure. Jesus, when He was exposing the corrupt hearts of the Pharisees, said, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaks. See, it is impossible to entertain wrong thoughts and live holy before God. If we do not seek God in prayer, in the study of His words, if we do not take it into our hearts and our minds and our souls, if we do not surrender our lives to God, the Holy Spirit, we will not live as God calls us to live. To live other than God instructs is disobedience. And disobedience is sin. To have the heart that loves God, seeks God, it's as Paul says. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these. God expects Christians to think on the things that are true and honest and pure and lovely. And then we are able to dwell on God and the things of God. But if we have our minds full of the world, we can't do that. See, God wants our minds full of the things He gives us. And when we have our mind full of these things, there's no room for the vulgar and the impure and the things that the world seeks after. And then the second thing I think God wants us to keep. Boy. Thank you. Is our body's discipline. If we don't control ourselves, we have issues. And it's not easy to control our bodies. I mean, we have to work at it. Paul said, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I may not be disqualified. That does not sound like the overconfidence we hear so much today in our time. It doesn't sound like the lovely once in grace, always in grace, once saved, always in saved. You know, God is this loving God. It doesn't matter what you do. See, if we don't keep our bodies under control, if we don't discipline our bodies to the point we are slaves living for the glory of Christ, then we ourselves will be disqualified. Some believers have allowed the lusts of the flesh, temptations of the world, just ruin them and taken them away from God. And then as a congregation of believers, it says, for this reason, we should pay attention all the more to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. By ourselves, it's not that hard to convince ourselves of some pretty silly and stupid things. God gives us the gift of family, and He gives us the gift of church because together we are stronger. And together we can make our way through this corrupt world. And also then the responsibility of the church is to make sure what is taught, what is preached is true to the Word of God, that we may all strengthen each other and live it. It's so easy to drift away. It doesn't take any effort. It doesn't take any work. It's just the opposite. It takes work and it takes effort to discipline our bodies that we will be what the Lord wants us to be. Our natural state is what? It's a state of sin. And it takes hard work to discipline ourselves to overcome the sins of this world and be of service to God. We need to submit our minds, our bodies, and our soul to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, because only through their power can we discipline ourselves to be what God wants us to be. Without discipline, believers can easily drift back into the current of the world's river of sin. Like an athlete training for a marathon, we must make the effort. We must train, which means we put out the blood, the sweat, and the tears to gain discipline over our fallen nature. Life for a believer is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon, and the road that we run is the narrow road of God's Word. Then the third thing, God wants us to be pure, to keep ourselves impure. Impurity will weaken us and take us away from God. Paul wrote to the young church planner, to the preacher, to his spiritual son Timothy. He said, don't be too quick to appoint anyone as an elder. Don't share in the sins of others. And he ends it with this, keep yourself pure. We must keep our hearts pure, our words pure, our lives pure. You know, a real Christian is the purest thing in this impure world and shows the light of Christ to a dark world. As King David said, he said, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? And he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully." So the question that brings to each one of us is, are my hands clean? Is my heart clean? Is my heart pure? Let me ask you. We live in a world that is really messed up, and it's getting worse every day. Our own society really doesn't have a whole lot on Sodom and Gomorrah. Anything goes anymore. Do you refuse to participate with the false things of this world? And do you only speak truth? Those are questions you should take into your heart. And then, what is the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Do you see evidences of fruit and the signs and the marks in your life that show that you are living out what you truly believe? And is God pleased with that? Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart enjoy God, and the opposite is also true. The impure do not enjoy the things of God. And we live in an impure world. God is pure. All of his attributes are pure. His words are pure. And as King David wrote, he said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in the furnace on the ground, purified seven times." And just like Patrick said, we know silver is pure when it reflects just like a mirror. All the dross has been burned off. And then all of God's statutes and his commands are pure. David said later in Psalm 19, he said, "The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous." It is only by submitting to and obeying God's wisdom that we remain pure. The Apostle James instructed and he said, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, and without pretense. The fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace and by those who cultivate peace." But to have all those fruits, it starts with having a pure heart and a pure mind towards God. And so, do you have these fruits in your life? Does it mark your life? Does it mark my life? Living in obedience to God enables us then to bring God glory. Because God is forever faithful, and he gives us everything we need to live for his glory. As Paul wrote, he says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." God gives believers everything we need, but we have to put out the effort. He gives us his spirit. He gives us his word. He gives us his son, and he gives us the church. All these things are meant to help us live for the glory of God. And then fourth, God wants us to keep our lives unstained. Christians must keep unstained from this filthy world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. There was a coal mine in Kentucky, and some young people came from town and really had no idea what went on. And so they came out wearing their nice, clean, white clothes, and they ask, can we go in the mine and see what goes on since this is such a large thing for our community and provides so many jobs? And the old mining superintendent looked at him and says, well, you can go in white, but you won't come out that way. And when you come out, your garments will no longer be clean. They'll be soiled and they'll be contaminated. And the same is true for a Christian. It's possible for a Christian to enter into the corrupt and the filth of the world because it can be enticing. But one cannot come out of that and still be an unstained Christian. We can't participate in the filth of this world. If we do, no matter how hard we try, our garments are going to be soiled. We cannot participate in what's going on in this world. As the Apostle James made clear, he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: visit the orphans and widows in their afflictions and keep yourself unstained from this world. Life's path of sanctification draws us ever closer to God and Jesus Christ, draws us closer to our real home, which is heaven. And the more we work at it, the more Christ-like we become. And the more Christ-like we become, the more we can share the gospel with the world. And also the more the things of this world become less attractive. A path for a Christian is always much better traveled in a group, in a family, and in a church. Because my weakness is not yours, and your weakness is not mine. And together we can bolster each other to live boldly for Jesus Christ and faith. And that brings us to number 5, which is keeping God's word. We must keep His word not only in our minds, but in our hearts and our souls. And we must speak it from our lips. We should be thinking on God's word continually. Spending time in prayer and reading the scriptures on a daily basis reprograms our corrupted mind of the world into what God wants it to be. You know, the Psalms begin with wisdom and instruction. The very beginning of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 says, how happy is one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Jesus is our Lord, and he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. See, how many times, you know, do we see churches and people who label themselves Christian, and they even speak Christianese, right? This Christian language. But they don't live it. See, and the opposite is true. You can go to a church that's speaking the truth, and you can hear God's truth, but if you do not obey the truth of God and obey His word, then you, by your own actions, you convict yourself, and you condemn yourself. James instructed, he says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking in at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, he goes away, immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer with works. Who works? This person will be blessed in what he does. See, from the heart comes out what we truly believe. And this is evidence then in the way we live. When somebody says they're a Christian, we can't see their heart. We can't judge their heart. But God says, inspect the fruit, right? Be a fruit inspector. Is there evidence that they truly believe what they're saying? Number six. Come on. I'm so glad. Okay, number six. Really. As I look at our society, one of the things that is so badly needed is church communities that live in unity. Not unity for unity's sake, but unity that is enjoined by the teaching of the true Word of God. There is nothing more damaging, more impotent than a church who is not living the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing in the words of God. How can we then be a light to the world, showing them that Jesus is their hope and Savior, if we are watering down the Word, if we are picking and choosing what we want from the Word? This is one of the things that we're seeing currently happen in our society. The separation of the remnant church holding fast to the Word of God and the broad church that wants to be accepted by everybody. And as Marion said, we're approaching the time, quickly approaching the time where the broad church is going to join with society and persecute the remnant church. And we better be ready. See, living out the gospel as a community. You know, Psalm says, behold, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity. That's not unity of the world. That's unity through Christ and God and His Word. And unity is founded on the Word of God and the brothers and sisters in Christ. It says in Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourself. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interest of others. If you want to see people who are really focused on their own thing, just watch a TV evangelist. Right? It's the church. If everybody is looking to meet the needs of each other, no one's need will go unmet. We are to care for each other. When we put Christ before all else, it then enables us to have this humility. It enables us to serve. And as Peter wrote, he said, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And we cannot do that if we are not holding fast to the Word of God. It is the love of Christ and God's Word and the Holy Spirit that truly builds a church into a community of Christ. And then the final one, which all six have been building to this in many ways, and that is, keep God's commandments. If we have given our lives to Jesus Christ, if we are truly believers in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Scripture also teaches then He is our master. And if He is our master, then we are His slaves, and we should be so thrilled and happy to be His slave that we just want to live with love and gladness and bring Him glory. Paul stated what is so essential. He said, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commands of God. The Jews thought simply because they were circumcised, that's all that was required to be a good Jew. God doesn't want the outward sign. He wants the inward heart. Our Master and Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is a crucial test of love. If you do not keep his commandments, the true reason is, then you haven't taken him deep into your heart and truly love him above all else. See, Jesus continues the first verses later, driving home this point. He says, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And then I love the next sentence. My Father will love him, and we, meaning Jesus and God the Father, will come to him and make our home with him. What a great promise. See, I think from these seven simple points, and I think from what Jesus says here at the end of this message, it's clear to see what it takes if we truly call ourselves Christian. It takes a love of God that is stronger than any other love you have. You cannot put him aside for anything else in your life. You can only truly love your spouse if you love God even more. We live in a society that is broken by divorce. We live in a society where everybody wants to do their own thing. You cannot be a servant. You cannot love if you do not love Christ first. See, and if you love Christ, one of the easiest ways to determine that is, are you keeping his commandments? Are you fudging? Are you making little exceptions like so many of the people in America do, even though they call themselves Christian? Or are you living out the Word of God? So my plea for myself and my plea for each one of you is that the Lord will help us in this very thing. The Lord will bolster our faith. He will make us stronger individually. He'll make us stronger as families, and he'll make us stronger as a church so that we can live faithfully his commandments. And if we can do that, we are of great service to his kingdom, and we will be able to share the light of Jesus Christ with a dark world. Because we will have a love that unsaved people cannot understand. See, so here is my prayer as I close. Lord, I ask that since you are forever faithful, we can count on your promises no matter what. That you, through your Holy Spirit, will strengthen us. My plea is, Father, help us overcome our weaknesses. Help us call sin, sin. Help us change our lives. And when we need to correct each other because we have issues in our lives, help us do it with love and grace and mercy. But at the same time, Father, let us hold faithfully to your word and nothing else. May your Spirit dwell in us, may it empower us, and at the same time, Father, may we surrender to your Spirit and live as your slaves and be absolutely thrilled that you are our Master. Help us live for your glory, and help us do it in a way that you deserve, for you are God, you are the only true and pure thing in this entire universe. Amen.